I've often talked about how much of a pay-per-view buyer I am. Take that any way you want it. But I'll tell you how I take it. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Fastest VPN on the planet. Global server network. All that good stuff. That's great. But a big, big reason why I got NordVPN.com/Fightful is all the pay-per-views I buy. All the money we're spending. We're trying to control costs as a company, as a household. You can get those UFC pay-per-views at a fraction of the price you're paying here in America. Plus, you can get all kinds of great content that you wouldn't normally see thanks to those services as well. Shows that are on overseas services, things that you want to watch a little bit early so you get on that UK time and watch them. Being able to change the interfaces of things like the WWE Network. Maybe you don't like Peacock, anything like that. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that ability while having the fastest VPN on the planet. Also, you just get so much more out of your internet experience with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Subscribe to Fight and AEW Plus. Watch AEW without commercials. Watch bare knuckle boxing. Watch UFC pay-per-views, boxing pay-per-views at the rates they're getting over in the UK. Change your virtual location with just one click. And hey, if you need any help using it, they got that 24/7 tech support. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
All right. 1:05 in the morning. Thank you so much, NBA Dunk Contest, for going even later than we had anticipated. Well, you saw some G League guy just dunking over a car, so I guess there was some entertainment value in and of itself. We did have to text Cresta and let her know when the show was actually starting, because you know, Lord knows she wasn't watching no dunk contest.
Sports. Sports entertainment, yes. I mean, sports, no.
I would put a dunk contest under sports entertainment more than I would put it under sports. But
honestly, sports. I don't watch basketball, but I was like, let me get this together so I could already be on the same channel. And I was very entertained. That guy jumped over a car, jumped over a person on a little what is that thing called?
Unicycle, tricycle.
The
Segway.
Yes. Little Segway thing. Amazing. I was very entertained. I was like, I don't know about watching basketball, but I would watch more dunk contests. I think that was appealing for me. That was exciting.
I watched basketball. Jeff Van Gundy was the coach of the Knicks.
Oh. I wish I knew what that meant.
The last time I watched basketball on a regular basis, Michael Jordan was finishing his second three-peat. So it's okay, I figured Iridian would know that one. Anywho, we welcome you guys in here to the Fightful YouTube channel on the very special AEW Collision review Grand show Slam. Here. We're not it ain't Collision tonight. It's AEW Grand Slam from Brisbane, Australia. Five big matches. What was it? Three title matches tonight. We do have a new AEW Women's Champion, so congratulations to Timeless Toni Storm, the first four-time AEW Women's Champion. So she breaks the record that she held with Hikaru Shida as the only three-time Women's Champion. So now Toni is the most decorated champion on the women's side in AEW. We will break down the entire card tonight. Get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. We got Alexander Fitzgerald saying 1:05 in the morning. We are the real AEW sickos. We also had another one from Alexander that says, is it weird that I felt like I should have paid for this show? This felt like a pay-per-view quality show from top to bottom. Great matches all show long. I would tend to agree. This definitely did feel like a sorry, Chi-Town Spurs. I'll get to your super chat in a second. Iridian, this did feel like a show that should, giving it away for free at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night felt a little wrong, but I don't hate it either.
No, I actually love the pay-per-view. I liked having the event on a Saturday night. And yeah, it felt like something big. The crowd was fantastic. Yes, it really added to the whole show. And I think just even starting off with that tag team match, you felt like oh my God, this is something big. And I was really excited that first match, and then going right into Mercedes into Harley. I was like, they're keeping it. Like, we are on the train. Let's go. And I was not mad at it. But yeah, I feel like we got that for free. That's a little crazy.
Yeah, look, and shout out to the Brisbane crowd, Cresta. Like, it is a bucket list item for me. I have to get to an overseas show at some point in my life just to experience that kind of energy and that kind of atmosphere. I don't have many bucket list items left, but that is definitely one of them.
No, absolutely. Hold on one sec. Sorry, there was a bullhorn of some sort or an emergency vehicle. No, honestly, this Australia crowd tonight, amazing. I wanted to be there. I forgot that it was 12 o'clock at one point. I was upset. And also, don't let them hear you say you should have charged for the show, because I agree. I should have paid for this.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate you guys paying for your super chats. Just Ricardo saying, why are you guys stealing all the hot?
It's in my pocket. It's in our pockets.
Share, mother effer.
Love it.
Love that. We had Chi-Town Spurs saying, the main event finish tells me we are getting a finale at Revolution, and what better backdrop than Hollywood? Well played, everyone. Well played. We will get to the finish of the main event tonight, which did see Toni Storm defeat Mariah May for the AEW Women's World Championship. But let's start at the top of the show here. Again, get your super chats in. Get those humper chats in. We'll read every single one of them before we get off the air tonight. Boy, did we kick off the show in a major way, Iridian. It was Kenny Omega. It was Will Ospreay, Kinosuke Takeshita, and Kyle Fletcher. And this was a tag team bout that had the highest of expectations, and I thought it absolutely delivered. This was one of those where I just kind of sat back and just soaked in everything. Didn't write down any notes. Kind of wish I would have done that because my brain is mush. But, like, the back and forth action. One thing I was really surprised about, outside of like a little bit of Don Callis interference, we didn't get a whole lot of shenanigans in this one. It was just straight 2-on-2, your best against my best. Let's go. And that finish where Ospreay out of nowhere does like the Montez Ford move where he dives over the turn. Like, I think he jumped over Omega, jumped over the turnbuckle, dove to the outside to take out Kyle Fletcher. And then he runs right back up to the top turnbuckle to deliver a hidden blade, one-winged angel combo on Takeshita. Like, what the actual hell? That was batshit insane. It was crazy. I love it.
There was so many great moments in this match. And like I said, I think this was a fantastic one to start with, because these four guys alone are so incredibly talented. Like, these guys are the future of AEW, right? And especially with someone in the ring like Kenny Omega that can really drive that match forward. Like, I was so ready. When I saw that Takeshita had a fresh little manicure, I was like, Takeshita, you might win the match tonight. You might win the match tonight. But I was like, you know what? Maybe it wasn't as fresh because that didn't happen tonight. But man, the fact that, you know, like you said, Don Callis did not get involved. And even with the addition of Mark Davis, who was also ringside, did not get involved. I was like, interesting. Why have him out there if he's not even going to put a little hand in or something? Like, what's the situation here? My only thing with this match was that we didn't hear Battle Cry. And I love that theme song for Kenny Omega. So that was my only negative. But this match was so great. I gave it a 20 out of 10.
Dang.
Yes.
Dang, you going full Meltzer on this one. Just full Meltzer, dropping the 20 out of 10. I would agree. I thought it was a spectacular matchup, and I love the story that they were telling inside the match too, Cresta. Yeah. With, you know, the story that they're telling with Kenny coming back from the diverticulitis, is he still the best bout machine out there? Can he still go at the level that he is? Is he the same guy? And, you know, whether he is or not, the story of them, of him trying to find out if he can still do what he did before he missed an entire year of action, I think it's playing out well. And I thought it played out well in this match as well.
I mean, if we're going with that story, open and shut case, because he could still go. Holy. Also, I will say Big Bill did this man a disservice, because every time I hear diverticulitis, I hear Big Bill saying, my uncle had gingivitis and he's just fine. I'm like, that's a good promo. It's stuck in my head. No, this match. Yeah. Phenomenal. Everybody whether you were beating people up or taking bumps, everyone did their part. There was, towards the end, Konosuke gets hit by this, I think he's going up for something, and then Kenny Omega, I believe, grabs him off the turnbuckle. His head hits the turnbuckle, and then he goes into that hidden blade, hidden angel thing, and there was so much going on. My no, sir. This is fine wrestling.
Yeah, there's literally some dudes, like, when they're like, I'm not even going to try and take notes on this one. I'm just going to soak in, and whatever registers in the brain registers in the brain. Like, honestly.
It's sports entertainment at its finest.
Yeah. You mentioned Hidden Angel. That's what Zach Barber said. That finisher is now known as the Hidden Angel. I do like that. Meet Normus. Hello, bruvs. Let's crank. The opening tag team match is what you show people who say you watch wrestling and then convert a rube into a sicko. You know what? I might try that. I genuinely might try. Already, I'm curious, right? Because you work at a radio station. I believe you work at a talk radio station, right? Mm-hmm. In Chicago. Yeah. So do I. A lot of older people.
Yeah.
Do they give you shit for being a wrestling fan? Because I know I get it almost every single day.
You know what? It's different for me. I think a lot of my coworkers are like, oh, that's cool that you watch that. There was one coworker who was like, wrestling? Like, you watch wrestling? Haha. You? Like, I want to picture you watching wrestling, which I was like, I don't know what that means, sir.
You're pretty.
But I was like,
take that as you will.
I was like, sure, sir. I do watch wrestling. But yeah, it's a lot of my coworkers, they follow me on my podcast. So it's a different reaction for me. But yeah, I think it's like wrestling, that's what you watch? Like, are you sure? And I'm like, yes, like, this is a professional sport and I interview the wrestlers and this is the job. And we talk about it. So I think times are changing. Maybe not at your station, Rick, but
yeah, no, see, I get a lot of the, I get real sport, you know, comments, like, especially from the people who like NASCAR, and they're like, you know, it's a real sport.
NASCAR.
And
I'm like,
yeah. And then I get people at the radio station, even the younger ones, who dog me for watching it, yet they are on pins and needles watching The Bachelor. Like, look, just let people enjoy things, right? And I never give them shit for liking The Bachelor either. Just let people enjoy
what they enjoy. Yes.
And right. I enjoyed the hell out of this opening tag team match. Make sure to keep getting your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. We will read every single one of them throughout the entirety of the show. Ridian, if you get a humper chat, just let me know or just chime in. Tell me,
guys, I am in charge of the humper chats. So I will be reading if you send the humper chats. Rick will be reading the super chats. So send them
I'm
on.
I'm the Willa Yuta. I'm just here.
Just make sure to hump in Iridian's general direction, and yeah, we'll be
They will be red.
We will be good to go. We had Mercedes Moné defending her TBS championship against Harley Cameron tonight. Man. So I saw the spoiler for this match earlier on, and it made me sad. It made me sad. But at the same time, while I'm watching this, these ladies had me on the edge of my seat. Like, I was still, even though I knew she wasn't going to win, I was still rooting for Harley to get the win. And I loved this performance for her tonight. I think this was just another good night at the office for Mercedes, who is on a heater right now. She is one of the best performers. Whether you love her or hate her, you can't deny she's one of the best in-ring performers right now on the planet. She's on a heater. This was another good night for her. I had no doubts that she was going to put on a good performance. For me, the star of the matchup was Harley Cameron. This was her biggest match of her career in front of her hometown. That's a lot of nerves. That's a lot of pressure. Again, going up against somebody the caliber of a Mercedes Moné, that's even more pressure to be able to keep up. And I thought she absolutely delivered. Not only did she hit, you know, some of the more difficult moves or the more flashier moves that we have seen Harley Cameron hit inside the ring, but she looked calm. She looked like just exhilarated to be out there and performing in front of her hometown crowd. And then once again, in a way that only Harley Cameron can, she comes in and she is just entertaining from start to finish, having multiple mini Monets, one that was like pissed off at the end, like that part where she came up. And, you know, she's all mad and her hair's fritzed out. And then she's got the evil mini Moné with like the evil brow. and they just zoom in on her, like 10 out of 10, no notes. That was absolutely flawless. And it just got me thinking, like, now I want to see her have her own, like, mandible claw style finish and have the puppet be her Sako. Like, that's all I want to see now is her to do that. So maybe she needs to call up Mick and be like, hey, can I have that? But her going for a senton bomb on this one, multiple counters out of the moneymaker. The ending was not what I wanted. And I think I speak for everybody on the panel and say it wasn't what we wanted. Harley didn't win tonight, but she still won already.
Oh, absolutely. That crowd was absolutely behind her. They were even chanting CE no, which I was like, oh my God. I was like, they love Mercedes. They're chanting CEO. And I was like, wait a minute. That is not what they're chanting.
No, man.
So I was so excited to see Harley. And then the fact that, you know, Mercedes started and saying, oh, you're in my ring. But then Harley, midway through the match, she's like, this is my ring now. And I'm like, girl, you better tell her, because it was amazing. That Mini Monet, that puppet kills me. Absolutely kills me. And I was like, how dare you, Mercedes, disrespect Mini Monet like that, tossing her to the outside. But honestly, Harley, this whole match was showing fight, and we really got to see her heart in this match. And I think that, you know, you won over more people tonight, even though you didn't win. Right. But I hoped, you know, we all did that she would win, and that she brings more puppets for all of her opponents, because, you know, we said she would have a great Julia puppet. I see it. The vision is there. So I think this ending could have been switched with the main event. I think we could have got a quick roll up, and we could have gave Harley the win. Why not? That's something that I would have not been mad at, especially after she was doing good in tonight's match. But that's just my opinion. What do you guys think?
I have to disagree here. I'm CEO. CE. Listen, Harley did. Listen, hate me all you want. I'll be that guy, okay? Harley did very well, and I think the home crowd behind her was fantastic. I knew CEO was gonna win, but CEO losing to Harley Cameron, I can't see it. I can't wear that outfit. But Harley did amazing. Her getting up the knees in several moments to stop the Monet maker, keeping up with her in the beginning, and she made, in my opinion, Monet respect her. There's no way you wrestled that match, Mercedes, and left saying, "Well, Harley's still a chump." I do agree with the puppets, but I'm like, come on, y'all thought Mercedes was gonna lose that? I thought Buddy Matthews was going to win over. Harley did amazing. And I think that Harley is only up from her. This is the beginning of a Chelsea Green-esque, yo, she's the best. Hmm. But over the CEO, I can't see it.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Harley, beat up Chris Statlander. I'm sorry.
Harley is, and this is no disrespect to Harley is Chelsea Green on steroids, right? They are the two of the most entertaining women in the entire professional wrestling industry. But where, like, they're both hilarious and they're both creative, it's like Harley takes it to that next level because she's an incredible singer. She's got the puppetry act. The comedic timing is spectacular, just like it is with Chelsea's. Yeah, the ventriloquism. Like, there's nothing that she can't do other than drive well. That's the one thing that she told me she can't do well. She's like, I suck at driving. I'm not great at it. But, you know, so I like to be the passenger. And now she's got an electric car that basically...
Wouldn't you love to kick back with a great cigar, especially during that cool evening weather? It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch a game, or enjoy a nice evening outside. When it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is the go-to. They've got everything. Whether you're looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoint. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, the biggest selection, and they have unbeatable deals and discounts. And we've got one for you here. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. They've got fast shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders, $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order.
drives itself. So that's good for her and the other drivers on the road. But other than, you know, being behind the wheel, there's nothing that this girl can't do. And she still only has like 60, maybe 65 matches in her entire pro wrestling career. And what she did tonight was great. Heading into the night, yeah, I was all on board with Harley winning this one. But as I'm watching the match go, I'm sitting here and I'm like, you know what? There's still, I guarantee, a large portion of this crowd who doesn't know what her finisher is because we haven't seen it on television. What are her signature moves? Like, what are her signature moments in matches? Like, there are some things in her development that, you know, as a character and an in-ring performer, she needs to establish, I think. And maybe in retrospect, this wasn't the worst decision to have Mercedes win this one and then have Harley come down at the end and a few months later and win it again or win it then. But yeah, there's part of me that's going, man, I would have loved the Jeff Hardy, like Intercontinental title win over Triple H kind of style thing going on here. Like there's something that I really would have liked. And then she could have dropped it back at Revolution or something like that. But you had a chance to give her a career defining win and have her be the one that knocked off Mercedes. Mm-hmm. They didn't go that way. Literally, you could have I can make the argument for either already, and I really could.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that you mentioned, you know, a lot of people don't know Harley's finisher, but when it comes to Mercedes' finisher, I'm not for it. I miss the bank statement, and I know I can't be the only one. Like, I loved.
No, I'm you're in the majority on that one.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I like the Monet maker, but
the Monet maker, I see it, I'm like, oh, here we go again. Is it gonna hit right? Like, I think there's just a lot of things that kind of go wrong with it, and that's just a me opinion, but I'm like, oh, here we go, like that's just a finisher. But I would be more excited if she busted out the bank statement, and I'm like, oh my god, here we go, because you're building towards something. Like, are they gonna tap, are they not gonna tap? This just seemed like and I was kind of disappointed for the ending, so it's kind of lackluster to the CEO of it all. But that's
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. We did have Jess Ricardo with another super chat. Thank you so much. Saying Harley rose to the daunting task of keeping up. And this is something that she has done. Like, I still remember that match she had on Collision with Mina Shirakawa, where I'm like, god dang, girl, like, you had no business keeping up with her at this stage in the game. And you just did. Parker Hines saying, love Harley, but I hope AEW has a plan for her. She has so much potential that can't be wasted. Look, I don't know where they go from here, because at the end of the day, it was a decisive victory for Mercedes tonight. Maybe Mercedes gives her a little bit of a rub in the ring, and Harley can move on and work her way up to earning another title shot. Or maybe it's one of those things where they pull the Rocky II and they have Mercedes go, no, she pulls the Apollo Creed and says, no, I need to destroy you because you should not have been that close to beating me. Maybe that's the way they go. I'm not sure. I don't think Mercedes is dropping that title ahead of All In Texas, though. I feel like it's Mercedes and hopefully Athena for the TBS championship at that show.
Oh my,
that's where God, I think yes. You're going. That's where I think.
I wouldn't hate that. But then Athena's got to win, because you can't have Athena be unstoppable and then bring her to Mercedes and then have her lose.
Yeah, 100%.
But then I think at that point, Mercedes has to take it off of Tony, if Tony still has it at that point.
I mean, look.
We got to start doing the math on this. We got to be like, all right.
We're doing 4D chess right now.
Well, it don't have to be Mercedes. I mean, we were talking about how stacked this women's division is, from, you know, Chris Statlander to Willow. Megan Bain looks impressive as hell. They could hotshot her, give her like a Goldberg-esque run here where she's just mowing people down because she's so damn impressive. So there's a lot of options on the table moving forward here.
There's too many options.
We had the Brisbane Brawl, John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli defeating Cope and Jay White. This one was the surprising finish. I genuinely thought they were going to give the win to Cope and Jay White here ahead of Revolution, because I think Mox is going over at Revolution, but maybe not. I don't know. Thought maybe Jay White might get a win overseas, because, like, I mean, he's not an Aussie, but like all the Aussies were losing, like all night long, like literally all night long. I was like, maybe give them a little something here, but I digress. We had kendo sticks, tables, chairs, Cresta's favorite barbed wire, all the toys you could expect to be involved in this match came out tonight. Even Wheeler Yuta coming out of nowhere to whip Jay White with a leather belt, which that man no-sold like a madman. Like, I genuinely cannot imagine getting whipped with a leather belt and then just to act like it was absolutely nothing. And then Wheeler totally got punked out, because Wheeler always gets punked out, because that's just what happens. The finish of this match saw Cope about to deliver a concerto to Moxley. This chair was wrapped in barbed wire. Yuta then stole it away from him. The distraction allowed Marina Shafir to hit Cope with the briefcase that holds that AEW world title. Mox then locked in the bulldog choke after Claudio connected with the neutralizer. And Cope eventually passed out, while Wheeler Yuta actually did something right, and he held down Jay White on the outside to allow the Death Riders to get the win. Iridian, what did you think of this one?
Man, I am still stuck on that entrance when Adam Cole the fans finished the theme song for him. And I was a little emotional. Like, I was getting teary eyed. I was like, what is going on? Why am I feeling like this? Like, this is such a beautiful moment. This is what wrestling's about, right? People love this guy and people love his career. And I realized, I'm like, wow, this is probably the first time that a lot of these people are seeing him in the ring for the first time, because WWE didn't really travel like that, right? Even when he was with WWE, I don't think that they were able to get that opportunity or see like just big shows like this. So I'm like, yeah. Oh my God, this is like their first time. And like, that was just such a beautiful moment. I know he's going to remember that forever.
Oh, absolutely.
That was already a highlight of my match. And the match hadn't even started yet. And then we brought out the tables and the chairs and the kendo sticks, and Marina was out there trying to fight everybody. And at that point, I was like, Jay White, put her through the table.
I agree. She's got to go.
Equal rights, equal fights. That's my motto. So you... if she's going to swing, somebody better swing at her. So I was kind of disappointed that that didn't happen.
Well, but... they're saving that for Revolution when Beth Phoenix comes out.
Oh, at this point, yes.
So beautiful. I would love that. And then my show went to like a picture in picture or like a commercial. And then I totally missed Jay White being swung by Claudio. And I was like, that's disrespectful. First of all, how dare you not show that on primetime television? That does not need to be a picture in picture moment. Yuta came out. I yelled. I was very excited. Jay White is a menace for taking all of those belt shots. And there was so many things happening all at once. I closed my eyes and then I didn't. And then there was just so much, but that was kind of like my experience. Very overwhelming.
Yeah, no, it was. This match was absolutely insane. Mox getting hit multiple times in the back with the barbed wire chair, and just, you know, good God.
Intense.
Austin.
I knew you'd love that, Cresta. That's why I set that up for you to lead right into your comments on this one.
I mean, honestly, at this point, AEW is not going to be allowed in Australia, and I don't blame them. I don't blame Australia for banning them, okay? That was gross. And I know it was a day in the office for Moxley. This match was fantastic. I agree with Iridian. I was still stuck on them singing Copeland's music. And, you know, like, I wonder how long Copeland has in professional wrestling. I wonder how long, or if he'll ever be able to do this again if AEW comes back to Australia. Because even if it's not AEW, not a lot of big promotions run Australia. That's deep. Yeah. Like, this is maybe like my second time hearing a promotion running Australia. The first being like a 205 Live WWE event, I think, back in the day.
They did one of the shows. WWE did a premium live event in Australia.
The one with Buddy Matthews versus Cedric Alexander, because that was my first introduction to both, and that blew my mind.
Because
they were just so good, it blew my mind. I remember that to this day.
Was it Showdown Under, I think, maybe is what it was called. I can't remember, but I digress.
I don't know. 205 Live promptly closed their doors after. this match was really, really good. I will say my complaint, and I say this every week with the Death Riders, what are we doing here? I thought that, okay, if Cope wins today, Mox will win at Revolution. Right. That makes sense. Yeah. But to have Cote pass out, I guess, to protect him and then Moxie continue to choke him out, I get it. But at the same time, so you're going to have this man lose twice? What are we doing? You really are saying that you have to cattle prod Moxley. And I'm at the point where bring back the NWO, cattle prod this man. Cattle prod him.
I mean, does it give you, does it at least give you an inkling of hope or maybe change your mind about what the finish might be at Revolution? Or does this just, they stand apart? Like the one doesn't have any bearing on the other, Iridian?
I think this would lead me to believe that Adam Copeland is going to win. I mean, that's what I'm hoping, right? But at the end of this match, when Mox was again like choking him out, I was like, Mox, the match is over, please. We don't need this. Like,
this is not nice. This is two old people fighting, and I'm calling the police.
This is not nice. And I'm, Cresta, I'm with you on the Death Riders. Like, when it was Blackpool Combat Club, it was cool. Now, I don't know what you guys are doing. You got a terrible theme song. You got terrible outfits. You got terrible attitudes. So,
terrible dudes.
Did you just call Moxley old, though? He's like my age.
Did I say he was old? You were talking about old school Jordan finish up, and I'm talking about Jeff Van Gundy. Two grandmas and grandpas looking at each other.
Mox is only 2 years older than me. I ain't ready to be in that category yet. I still got hair on my head. Before we get too far in advance, we had a couple other super chats here. We got Athena and Mercedes will feed families. Yes, preach. And just Ricardo again saying, I think that Harley is a cosmic cheat code. In like, look, anybody who's that damn talented, they want it's, it is unfair. Like, save something for the rest of us, you know, please, just a little bit.
Yeah,
but, yeah, love her to death. We had Kazuchika Okada outlast Buddy Matthews to retain the AEW Continental Championship tonight. Obviously, the Brisbane crowd was behind Matthews in this one, hoping maybe one Aussie would win something tonight. Didn't happen here though. The self-proclaimed best of Australia did score a lot of near falls in this one. The closest was that Murphy's Law, where Okada was like just able. This is where leg lifts come in handy. Just able to like bend the foot back and get it on the middle rope as the hand was coming down for the three. In the end, though, Okada used the referee to kind of block out so he could hit Buddy with a low blow and then drop his second rainmaker of the match, Iridian, like Buddy kicking out of the first rainmaker was surprising in and of itself. And I think commentary said it's like the first time that's happened in AEW. So that's a nice little notch in Buddy's cap if he wasn't going to walk away with the championship belt.
Yeah, and you know what? I think a reason he didn't win this was because it was for the championship. I think if it was just a regular match, they would have given the Buddy the win. But I honestly don't know what they're waiting for. Maybe an actual pay-per-view. But I honestly had just written down, I'm like, Buddy is murdering Okada in that ring. He's winning. And then the low blow happened, and I'm like, wow. I was like, never mind. Let me delete that.
Like that from the record, sir.
Okada just flipped you the bird and said, F your notes.
And it was like, no. And literally, when they went the direction of the ref, I'm like, no, something sketchy is going to happen. And they didn't hit the ref. And I'm like, wonderful. And they did it again. And I'm like, okay, great. Okada missed too. And I saw Okada's little leg go up. And I'm like, oh, this is it. This is it for me. Crazy.
Cresta, what did you think of this? I thought this was a great back and forth match. I would, I've consistently thought that Buddy was one of the most underutilized talents, even in his run with the House of Black. I'm like, man, they could be doing a lot more with this guy. Now that, you know, Malakai is out of the company, presumably on his way back to WWE, this was a chance for him to kind of step out of the shadows, so to speak. I thought he delivered tonight. I'm not surprised by the finish. I did pick Okada to win this matchup, but still, I am surprised he kicked out of the Rainmaker. This was a hell of a showing for him tonight.
Being the person to kick out of the Rainmaker, I think, is magical. But I will also say, I think it's time for Okada to drop that belt. Mm-hmm. I saw it when he was with the Elite, but now the Bucks are gone, and not for nothing, Jack Perry also went to go find the something in the forest. I don't know where he's at.
He went to go find himself.
The forest?
Oh, he went to go find his smile in the forest. That's where people go in my mind. When you just disappear for a while, you go to the forest. Okay. He just went to the forest. So I think here, you really could have had Matthews win here and Toni Storm win here. Mm-hmm. And I think it would force Okada to A, take things seriously, which he does, but in the confines of his character, take things seriously and give him a gimmick change. I'm kind of over it. You're the only one still being the elite and there's no elite round. I'm kind of over it. It's cool that wrestling is great. I think this match was a reason why you shouldn't. That in the hometown of Australia should have been the feeling along with Toni Storm, and then all your crimes would have been forgiven, AEW. But this, again, is the reason why you're not going to be allowed back in Australia. And, you know, I can't do anything to protect you.
I mean, they're going back next year. At least that's what TK said earlier in the day, that they'd be going back somewhere in 2026.
This show didn't happen before he said that.
That's true. It's very, very true. Alexander Fitzgerald saying Okada's entrance with the rain lights around him was aura. Very, very good. But I am glad Buddy is getting a singles push, long overdue. The finish tonight makes me feel like we're running this back. Right.
Yeah.
We should at some point.
I would hope so. You know, they are really trying to find a space for Buddy and a space for Brody now that Malakai's not there. So I'm like, okay, this would be, I guess tonight would have been a great time to be like, hey, these guys are competitors and they can be, you know, in the singles, you know, in the singles division. So I don't know. I wish they would have given it to him. I guess this was the first match that I was like, oh, what? Like, you didn't give it to Buddy? Because I was like, okay, yeah. Harley, okay, but Buddy, like, come on.
I have to ask the both of you then, do you set these two up to be the guys to take it off of the Hurt Business? Because that's gonna be a gout match and I cannot wait. But I'm thinking, do you build them up or do you put these two together? Because I think the Hurt Business can't keep them forever, but you can't have them lose right away.
No, they're holding onto those belts for a while.
I think they might hold, the Hurt Business might. Is it Hurt Business? Hurt Syndicate.
Hurt Syndicate. Oh my goodness! Don't beat me up, MVP. I cannot fight.
MVP.
They please. Hurt people. That's all you gotta
say. We cannot be the Hurt People. Okay, we can't.
I don't want to be the Hurt. Hurt people. Hurt people. Please don't hurt me.
But yeah, I think they're gonna be champions for a little bit, and I don't think that being a champion would hurt either of the members of the House of Julia right now.
Hounds of Hell. That is the team name you're looking for. Hounds of Hell.
Hounds of Hell. No, it needs to be the House of Hearts.
I like House of Julia. I'm sorry.
House of Julia. We'll go with that then.
This is Julia's house.
It's Julia's house. She makes the rules. She's got the miss. Oh my God. They would do a cute little Brady Bunch intro, but it's like all emo. All emo.
It'd be the Addams Family.
Crazy.
Rick is sick of us.
Rick is like, all right, we need to settle down. I'm
trying to decide where to go from here. Thank God. I got a super chat I missed. We got C Delgado 6 saying Copeland wins and then Christian immediately cashes in.
That's diabolical. That's
crazy. But honestly, that seems pretty Christian. That seems like a Christian thing to do.
Here for it. 100% here for it. I'd like to see them run this back, Okada and Buddy Murphy at Revolution, which, by the way, looks like we're already getting a couple of banger additions to the Revolution card, because earlier on in the night, Kenny Omega challenged Kenosuke Takeshita for the International Championship, and Will Ospreay wants Kyle Fletcher inside of a steel cage.
That's going to be bloody, but yes, please, yes.
Let's go.
Gonna be incredible.
Speaking incredible. Of let's go, here's Sean.
Is your sex life stuck in developmental? Well, get ready for a call up with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but how about this? No awkward in-person visits, no trips to the pharmacy. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package. But let me tell you, your package is not going to be discreet when you use Blue Chew, and the code FIGHTFUL helps give you that confidence, that performance to take you straight to the main event, if you know what I'm saying. When approved online by one of our physicians, it just arrives straight to your door. You're not going to have people nosing around with what you're doing, and right now you get your first shipment free when you use the code FIGHTFUL. Go straight to the top. you know what I mean. Memorable performance, high spot, you know, whatever other innuendos you can think of. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
All right. Still time to get some super chats in. Still time to get some humper chats in as we dive into our main event for the evening. It was Timeless Toni Storm challenging Mariah May for the AEW Women's Championship. And look, this one, first off, we got to throw a caveat out there. Iridian missed most of the match.
All right.
There was some weird crap going down as far as like, I don't think everybody's shows started at the same time.
No, not at all. No. Not at all.
It's, and you know what? It's so crazy because I was going on Twitter and people, like I saw, I was still on the Buddy and Okada match and I was, some people on Twitter were posting Tony's entrance. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not there yet. So I was watching Hulu upstairs because that's how I watch AEW. Then I'm like, okay, we're getting to the main event. Let me go prep downstairs where I'm at right now. And I'll watch Hulu on my phone. And I go to turn on the stream, TNT, the show is nowhere to be found. So I couldn't find it for anything. So Hulu, you got beef with me, all right? That's another match at the next AEW.
I'm sick. Yeah, Revolution, Iridia versus Hulu.
It was crazy. So I was trying to find as many clips as I could on Twitter. So I literally only saw the ending and then something that happened on the outside. So in the comments, guys, fill me in. What happened? What did you like? What you didn't like? But I saw the ending, and let me tell you something. I didn't like it.
The way you said, "Let me tell you something," I was like, "Somebody's about to get spanked."
I did not like it.
Well, which Tony are you spanking? The one who won the match or the one who booked the match?
Both of them. Yes.
I can understand the position of not liking the finish, especially after, you know. You know, these two, they threw everything at one another. There was a point in this match where Mariah May kicked out of three straight hip attacks and then a Storm Zero. Toni Storm kicked out of back-to-back Maydays. Toni then hit another Storm Zero to which Mariah rolled out of the ring. And it's like, what on God's green earth is going to be able to keep one of these women down? Now, who is going to be able to put the other away definitively? And then Toni ends up winning with an inside cradle. While I can understand that, I also do think, Cresta, it leaves the door open for the rubber match, right? Like, because Mariah can now come back and say, you got lucky, right? You got lucky. You didn't definitively beat me. You didn't kill me. You didn't wipe me off the face of the planet. You didn't do any of the things that you said you were going to do. You got a quick three count and you walked out with my championship. So now they can run this bitch back in Los Angeles, Hollywood, the rubber match. Timeless Toni Storm returns to the red carpet in Hollywood with the AEW Women's Championship. And now Mariah is on her tails again. I think that's why they ultimately booked it. Doesn't mean you got to like it, but I think that's why they booked it.
Y'all had to convince me of that because I was in Iridian's camp like, mama. This match was, to me, this match was fantastic. It was every bit of stiff it needed to be, the pomp and circumstance of Luther and Mariah just not giving up. For a roll-up, an inside cradle, what am I, a joke to you? Okay, Hollywood, okay, I see it. But for me, at this point, I want them both to show up in sweatpants and another cage match between these two. Because this match was fantastic. This is me asking for blood. So how do you top that? How do you top that? You put these women in a cage and you really let the cinema go. I would regret to inform. I'd watch that. Disgusted the whole time, but I would watch that. Because this was an amazing match. I was only disturbed by the ending. I was upset, but it makes sense. She's a rookie, wins with a roll up. Okay, you finish it off in Hollywood. I'm okay with that, but it has to end Michael Bay style. Put him in a cage.
I think this is going to be a never ending story of, they're always going to be fighting each other, right? Like, there's wrestlers who always have that story. Yeah. So I think they're going to be one of those pairs. I need a lumberjill match. I need a ladder match. Give me, a steel cage match. Give me a
exploding barbed wire death match. Let's go. AEW can't do
those. You've already established that.
Let's you said Michael right. Bay, run it back. Let's see if they can get the explosion at the end right this time.
Like everything I just said. You're right. You're right. I'm a wrestling fan. I flip flop easy. What do you want from me?
Oh God, there wasn't there like a like an old fashioned like Hollywood backlot brawl or something like that. You could, I mean, it's technically a street fight, but I mean, I swear there was something along those lines. You could run that back, and there's some kind of Hollywood type stipulation, whatever S word I'm trying to say here, that they can pull back for this one at Revolution. But I agree with you, Iridian. I think, especially when you look at both of these women, and they are, well, I don't even know how old Mariah is. She's in her 20s, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm
probably
like
24
at most.
Let's look it up.
26. Come on, Rick. So Mariah is 26. Tony's only 29. That's insane, isn't it? Right? She's
I have a lot of in common with Tony then, both in the same.
And I don't mean like she's been 29 for 3 years. Like, I mean she's legitimately 29. Like these girls are just getting into their prime. So yeah, these are two, the way that their stories have lined up, as long as they're in AEW, or even if they, you know, hop companies eventually one day, you know, they're going to be in line to have that Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens style feud. And I'm more looking forward to, once they're done fighting, what brings them back together, right? Like what force brings them back together where they reunite as not only, you know, instead of master and protege, like they're both like top level Jedi masters and, you know, whatever team is coming up against them. So that's what I'm interested to see down the line. We got a super chat from Dylan Matthews who says, shocked throughout this entire feud that Mariah didn't mention that Tony was born in New Zealand. I do believe she's basically Australian. Like she moved back when she was like a baby. We have Meet Normus who said Tony winning was expected on a fruit roll up was poopy. He says, excuse my language. I've said worse on this show than that. A pay-per-view on TV was good to go. 6.9 stars in the Tokyo Dome.
The Australian Dome.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah. We got Alan Jeanette saying, my favorite after Collision show. Tony didn't rip those. Yeah, she didn't do anything. She did not.
Her up. That's what she did.
Yeah, she rolled her up. So there again, I think that's the story. I think Mariah comes back on Wednesday and says, look, you didn't kill me. I'm still here. You stole my championship. You took a cheap way out. You rolled me up. Congratulations. Whatever stipulation match you want to go.
It has to be a plunder. It has to be. Because I could see Mariah saying, I'm not doing this with you. I'm going to beat it out of you. I've had it. And I lost my title. So now I'm on one. And I'm on one like Thunder Rosa.
Yeah. And if Tony picks up the win and like really cements that, then it's got to be the toughest, the hardest match that we've seen them both have. And then Mariah can go and start back up, like working her way up through the women in the division, which can be a Megan Bain, which can be, again, Deonna, which that's when you would start really bringing that, maybe bring Athena in back in. That's when you work her towards that way. Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities, but I was
last woman standing.
Oh,
nobody put anybody away with their finishers tonight. Last woman standing.
Falls count anywhere. I love a good falls count anywhere match. It would work. Yeah,
I do like that Hollywood plunder match. I'm just trying to think of Hollywood exec backroom brawl. I don't know. Like how I don't know how they would do
they're
that.
They're fighting in Tony Khan's office.
The fight is in Tony Khan's office, actually.
Well, the last time that Tony got involved, I think that was there was the flamethrower, right?
Every time I think of Tony getting involved, I think of his dad with that face. Like, what the hell is happening here?
Yeah, so
when was the moment that Tony Khan rolled down the ramp? Was that the flamethrower? Do you guys remember him rolling down the ramp?
Yeah.
I watched a lot of wrestling, so chat. I don't remember that.
Yeah, I think it's what it was.
Cackle.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, that's what it was. It was the Hollywood backlot brawl. It was a WrestleMania match between, I think, Roddy Piper and Goldust, by the way.
I was going to say The Miz somehow, but he wasn't even a...
No. Roddy Piper and Goldust. So, hey, you already got the guy who was in the match in the company. There. Bring it back. Run it back. Could happen. I could see him do it. Tony Khan's a sicko like that. He'd roll back some kind of like historic match like that. All right, we're going to keep it short tonight because it's almost 2 a.m. Iridian, what you got going on?
Yeah, head over to YouTube and follow me there on Rust Friends, W-R-E-S-T Friends. I just put out an interview with Kurt Angle. He was such a nice guy. 10 nice. Out of 10. Love him. And then follow me anywhere on social media up here. Literally, it's always Iridian_Fiero. So check it out. Cresta, where can our beautiful people find you?
If you can type Cresta Starr, C-R-E-S-T-A-S-T-A-R-R on the internet, you can find me on Instagram. The birds, Blue Sky, the new bird app. That's the butterfly. I'm going to think about it. I was like, it's not that anymore. Twitter, it's Cresta the Star because they're a hater. Also, you can find me on YouTube. My second episode of my podcast, Slap Grapple Pop, comes out tomorrow. So definitely check that out. I interact with everyone everywhere except for Twitter because bump that. Rick, where can the people find you?
On X or Twitter, whatever the hell you want to call it, at Rick Uccino, like you see it spelled on the screen up there. That's the one-stop shop for all of my stuff right now for the Takedown on SI, that Sports Illustrated's wrestling website. Dropped an interview with Roxanne Perez earlier today, ahead of NXT Vengeance Day, which a lot of people thought might have been her swan song tonight, and she did not win. Spoiler alert if you didn't watch, so she may be permanently main roster bound, so we spoke about that. There's also the Takedown on SI YouTube channel that we launched late last fall. We are slowly building up there. We just launched a new show with myself and Zach Haydorn this week called the Takedown Discussions that airs every Friday at 9 a.m. So follow on us over there, Takedown on SI. Give us a share, a follow, all that good stuff. Get all of our exclusive content there. Other than that.
And before we go, Rick, hold please. We are getting Matthew Hooks asking if his super chat was read. I'm going to go back and we get that OC Roddy and Ops Patriarchy Wednesday. Wow. So double checking. I don't think we did that.
Missed that one. I apologize on that. See, this is why
we got team. The teamwork. We got team. The eyes.
We got the team.
Yeah. Wednesday is going to be a really, really good show. I'm excited.
Yes. 1,000,000% on
the
that.
The Ops. One. You want to fight the Ops?
The Ops.
Right now I want to fight my pillow.
We're gonna go fight our pillows, guys.
Next week, by the way, I unfortunately have to work at the radio station, so it is going to be two woman trip, power trip next weekend for Collision. Regular time though, so you know we're not gonna be up till 2 a.m.
God bless.
Good morning, everybody.
Bye, guys.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.